This morning, scripture reading is from Psalm 145. Psalm 145, we'll read the first 9 verses. I will lift you up high, my God, the true King. I will bless your name forever and always. I will bless you every day. I will praise your name forever and always. The Lord is great and so worthy of praise. God's greatness can't be grasped. One generation will praise your works to the next one, proclaiming your mighty acts. They will talk all about your glorious splendor, your majesty. I will contemplate your wondrous works. They will speak of the power of your awesome deeds. I will declare your great accomplishments. They will rave in celebration of your abundant goodness. They will shout joyfully about your righteousness. The Lord is merciful and compassionate, very patient and full of faithful love. The God is good to everyone and everything. God's compassion extends to all his handiwork. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. What a God! Merciful and compassionate, very patient and full of faithful love, good to everyone and everything. With compassion that extends to all creation. But we know that already, right? Just as the psalmist said, from generation to generation, the mighty works of God have been praised. We come to worship even today, to speak and hear spoken again the power of God's awesome deeds. We come to tell stories that echo David's refrain in the words of Psalm 145. The Lord is great and worthy of praise. We stand in one accord when it comes to the goodness of God. It is the bedrock of our faith and the character of the God in whom we trust, the God to whom we raise our praise. What if there be someone, though, who asked us, why? Why do you propagate the praise of God? How do you know God's power is awesome? How can you be sure God is merciful and compassionate? How can you say with assurance that God is full of faithful love? Is it because David said so in his song? Maybe he was just another songwriter looking to hit the charts with some feel-good lyrics that got everybody on their feet and singing along. Or was he writing from what he knew about God? How did he know? Was it something that he had heard passed down to him from generation to generation? Was it because he was the king and everything was going his way and he had no other explanation to think of for his success? So it must have been, as they say, a God thing. Or had he truly encountered the love and compassion of God for himself? Where did they meet, David and God? Maybe it was in the wide open field when David was a shepherd, caring for his father's flock of sheep. Maybe it was when the priest, Samuel, poured oil over his head, anointing him to be king of Israel. Maybe it was in the throes of fear as he faced down the giant Philistine, Goliath. Or maybe David encountered God in the deep darkness of the cave, hiding from the madness of Saul, who sought to kill him. Maybe it was as he prayed for forgiveness after being confronted by the prophet Nathan, whose bold message brought David to his knees in repentance of straying from God's path. Why did David sing about a God who is full of faithful love, a God whose compassion extended to all creation? I think it was because David had come to know who God was through the many places he had encountered God, and he had found God to be merciful and compassionate, very patient and full of faithful love, good to everyone and everything with a compassion that extends to all creation. But here's the thing. David's saying that that's not all that David did in response to encountering the God who he had come to know. Anybody can sing, but David also seemed to find a spark of the divine within himself. A spark that, when fanned, began to burn with the same divine love for others. An evil spirit of jealousy grew within the heart of King Saul toward David, who he knew had been chosen by God to assume his throne. This evil spirit of jealousy led Saul to try to kill David on more than one occasion. While running for his life from the mad king, David came upon Saul asleep in a cave. Rather than vengefully killing Saul, David had mercy on him, spared his life as an act of faithful love. So much regard had David for the lives of others that when his men risked their lives to bring him water from his favorite well, David poured out the water he had longed for because his men had put their lives in jeopardy to get it. David had compassion on a child named Mephibosheth, a descendant of Saul, who had suffered from lifelong injury. David wept with heartbroken compassion and an unending love for Absalom, his own son, who died leading an insurgent attempt to overtake David's kingdom. I think David sang of God's love and compassion, not because he had heard of it from generations gone by, but because he had encountered that God for himself. He sang his song because it was the tune that rang out within his own heart and soul. The great love and compassion of God, once David encountered it, made him not only want to sing, it also made him want to be loving toward others in the same way God had been loving and merciful to him. In the 3rd to 6th century desert landscapes of Egypt, Syria, Palestine, and Arabia, a powerful movement was happening. Christian monasticism began flowering in response to a call to leave behind the world. These spiritual seekers, who came to be known as the desert fathers and mothers, withdrew from a society where the misuse of human relationship, power, and material possessions ran counter to their sense of the sacredness of life. Their journey into the desert was a movement toward cultivating an intentional awareness of God's presence and recognizing that worldly pleasures bring little long-term satisfaction. The aim was to experience God in each moment and activity by reducing their physical needs and committing themselves to the discipline of regular prayer and self-inquiry. In short, the monks went to the desert, forsaking all distractions, with a singular focus of encountering God more fully. They wanted to get closer to God than hearing what other generations had come to know about God. They wanted to hear more than words about God. They wanted to hear the very voice of God. There in the desert, they encountered for themselves the God David had come to know and sing of, a God full of faithful love, a God good to everyone and everything with a compassion that extends to all creation. But a funny thing happened in the desert. Encountering this kind of God, discovering that this was the kind of love God had for them, awakened the same kind of love within them for everyone and everything else. It was Abba Evagrius who summed it up this way. The monk is one who is separated from all and in harmony with all. Abba Theodore admonished the monks to flee from their neighbor, but not as though the neighbor was despised. How is such dichotomy held in a balance? How does solitude foster harmony? How does forsaking the world in pursuit of God awaken a greater love for everyone and everything else? In the plain-spoken wisdom of the Desert Fathers, the early Christian monk, Dorotheus of Gaza explained it like this. Suppose we were to draw an outline of a circle. Let us suppose that this circle is the world and that God is at the center. The straight lines drawn from the circumference are the lives of people. The closer those lines are to God, the closer they become to one another. And the closer they are to one another, the closer they become to God. You see, somehow, community and love for community is at the heart of desert spirituality. It is also at the heart of our Lenten call. Our Lenten journey is intended to lead us to encounter God more fully. We are called today to be aware that that encounter will take us to places where we are called to confront and to struggle to overcome anything that acts as an obstacle to our living in communities of mercy and compassion toward one another. Encountering God more fully calls us to encounter others more fully, removing the distortions within our minds and within our hearts that would cause us to disregard others or to forget that God also loves them. We are called to love them as God has loved us and as God loves them. David would tell us, the Desert Fathers would tell us, that in our own desert places of solitude, deplete of securities upon which to rest and nowhere to turn, places we've all been at one time or another, and will undoubtedly find ourselves in again, we will encounter God for ourselves. Whenever we are in those places, we will find out for ourselves that God is merciful and compassionate, very patient and full of faithful love, good to everyone and everything, with compassion that extends to all creation. Abraham Heschel has observed that a prophet is one who brings to the world the attitudes of God rather than just ideas about God. Let us sing with David and with all generations proclaiming God's goodness. But let us do more than sing, more than offer the world words and ideas about God. Let us live in the world with the attitudes of God. Let us be more merciful and compassionate. Let us be more patient and more faithful to love, good to everyone and everything, with the compassion that extends to all creation. Amen.